the building.
Have you guys solved all the problems in my absence?
No, no, I wish.
Yeah, we're about ready to go. We found the real culprits. We were going to form a posse and go.
Excellent. Okay.
You got the handcuffs, Jim?
Right. Now, listen, you guys are going to have to beg my indulgence in the following respect. I'm doing a huge number of interviews about JFK because I've done more on JFK than I've done on 9/11. I did like 5 interviews yesterday, 4 interviews today. I've got to do early morning interviews tomorrow. So I can stay for, you know, till the top of the next hour.
Yeah,
but then
cool.
I'm going to have to beg your indulgence to crash because I'm
cool,
getting
man.
Worn out.
That's cool.
You're going black out.
So, lay on me what you think is the most important for us to discuss while we have this opportunity.
Yeah, well, I've had plenty of opportunity. This being the third show, I don't know. We got a couple callers on the line. Or James, I think James Sloan actually had something he wanted to talk to you about.
Sure,
James.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know if you're on the line. I just mentioned that you talked about getting us chasing our tails. I think some of the so-called mistakes, you know, were deliberate. For example, the image of the plane, be it a hologram or a CGI or even a real plane, you know, they didn't paint. It wasn't an airline painted in United Airlines colors. It was in a silhouette. So that led a lot of people down.
Well, I'm telling you, there are people all over the place on this. But, you know, the fact is that the physics is it makes it impossible that it was a real plane. No, it's physically impossible for a real plane to have effortlessly passed into that massive 500,000-ton steel and concrete building, intersecting 8 different floors consisting of steel trusses with 4 to 8 inches of concrete, because the Vs, you know, are 4 inches deep. Each of those represent like an acre of concrete apiece. We know what happens to a real plane when it encounters a tiny bird in flight that weighs a few ounces. Now imagine what would happen if a plane in flight encountered a steel truss filled with an acre of concrete.
Well, even you're right, and even if it did manage to penetrate the exterior wall and the glass, there's still all that concrete going from one side to the other. The floor trusses, the assemblies, and all the office furniture and people as well would present a force. You know, it's not like once it penetrates the wall, it's air between the other side. I mean, you know, there's still a lot of debris behind that.
Well, it's intersecting 8 different floors. This is what nobody seems to pay attention to. There's the massive horizontal resistance. It would have been simply overwhelming. I mean, this is an aluminum aircraft, and it's intersecting with 8 different floors of steel trusses connected at one end to the core columns, at the other to the external steel support columns, and filled with 4 to 8 inches of concrete. It's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Parts of it will penetrate through the windows. Those are narrow windows in the building. I would say less than 25% of the facade of those buildings was glass, less than 25%. So if you assume that parts of the plane would go through the glass, then you might get 25% of the parts of the plane. But you're not going to get, you know, most of the plane is going to crumple, the wings are going to break off, the tail, body seats, luggage fall to the ground. Now we have a whole bunch of photographs beneath the facades, and you could have reclined there in a lounge chair and drunk Mai Tais because there were no falling plane parts, bodies, luggage, seats, none of it.
Well, so
there were no real planes there. The question is not whether there was a real plane. The question is how was it faked, and that's what we're debating. What could it have been? And I just say
we have another caller. I'm going to add to the call.
Go ahead.
Call, you're on live. Dose of Reality Radio. Brian Stavely, Justin Cook, James Sloan, and I guess James Fetzer.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, who are we talking to?
It's Dusty Ash.
How are you, buddy? How are you doing?
Good. I've been on a lot of fakeologist sites and stuff, and the ab site and everything, so I just listened in here. So.
All right. Did you have something you wanted to ask?
Well... Yeah, he's it seems he sure is defending a lot of the it seems to me like he's not totally on the fence with the fakery, or is he going all over the place with this thing?
I'm not. Brian's the one who says he's on the fence. I'm not on the fence. It was obviously fakery, and my position is it was
the collapse footage. If it's real video,
it's to me the most persuasive explanation. It was done projecting a hologram from a plane that was flying 1,400 feet to the right. It's laid out in detail in Richard Hall's 3D radar study of Flight 175.
Well,
God, spit it out. Say whatever you want.
If you don't know the evidence, if you haven't looked at it, it's going to sound strange. All of us agree to that. A whole lot of things sound strange until you look at the evidence. And if you're presented with a conclusion without looking at the evidence and you never bother to look at the evidence, you may never be able to figure it out.
Yeah, but it just seems to me like everything's just spinning around and around. Like, you just seems like you just, you know, it's great discussing it, but you got to be also open to, you know, yeah, the evidence, fine, but, you know, it just seems like, well, why did they clean up everything? Everything's just cleaned up, gone, wash your hands of it. Let's get it all shipped over to China. Let's get it on. Let's get it gone.
Pfizer ain't doubt about that. They cleaned it up because they didn't want it to be available to be studied to figure out what actually happened, because it was done in a completely different way than the government claims. There's nothing mysterious about that.
I know Chris and Justin and James are probably in that belief too, that most of the contents weren't there in the first place.
Oh, you guys are Hollow Tower guys?
To an extent.
Okay.
I think it was the 80-20 rule at play in a lot of this. There was 80. I'm just throwing this out there as kind of a general number, but 80% hollow, maybe 20% floors.
Yeah, exactly.
80% of the victims were fake. 20% had legends where they had funerals and everything. I think they use that. I think that makes the most sense to me.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody died. Well. Nobody died.
Nobody really had to die.
I don't think anybody died.
It's just like Sandy Hook is the same. Nobody died. Oh, everything's fine.
Sandy Hook.
No, but I wanted to talk about this while I was on here, because this is pretty new news to me. I had a listener to the Hoaxbusters call tell me about they know a person. Now, this is secondhand information, granted, but they know a person that was at the funeral of the TSA guy that died. That's somebody that they work with at their job.
Yeah,
and the guy came back and told him that it was a very odd experience, and that there was no internment done at all during that public funeral. And they had made a statement to the effect that that was going to be later at a private funeral for just the family members. So,
That's pretty strange.
Yeah, that's really strange. And
it is, yeah.
And I have no reason to doubt this particular individual. I mean, but you know, it's secondhand information. But I think that's what went on with a certain percentage of the 9/11 victims.
Well, listen, if you guys want to get to see the latest on Sandy Hook, check out a new documentary. It's by Sophia Smallstorm. It's entitled Sophia Smallstorm Unraveling Sandy Hook. It's pretty fascinating stuff, of an hour and a half on YouTube now.
Yeah, I actually watched that. It's quite compelling, that video, actually. They had all these Christmas trees and behind the fire hall there. There's something funny about that. I don't know. They're kind of close up.
Well, you know, Sophia's part of a small research group, including a woman named Jenny Lake and James Tracy and I. And our conclusion is that no children died at Sandy Hook. They were using photographs of children in clothing that was 20 years old, and that the whole thing was fabricated to promote, gun control. And they've done all these things about, you know, even gagging the workers who tore down the school so they wouldn't report that there were no blood stains or pockmarks from bullets having been fired. The Newtown clerk went to great efforts to get the legislature in secret to pass laws so she wouldn't have to release death certificates on the children. And now we've got a state official who's arguing that the 9/11 calls shouldn't even be released. I mean, this is ridiculous. It just smacks of massive cover-up. They don't want anyone to have access to any evidence at all, because it's all phony, fabricated, and a fraud.
You know the reason they're hiding the 911 calls is because you actually had that would show Sally Cox, the nurse, out to be a liar. You know, if there obviously even is a call or whatever, you know, she said like three different stories. Supposedly her call said that she saw him, you know, whatever the case may be. But that's, you know,
okay.
Besides the rest of it, you know what I mean? But continue.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I just say that's something you might want to check out, you know, and I'm glad you some of it are. Yeah.
What's that, Sophia? What is it? Small Storm?
Small Storm, yeah, yeah.
Small Storm, okay.
Yeah.
I'll watch that.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of problems around anything that's confusing or, you know, anytime it's just going around and around, one has to question about it. And if you're really strong on the Sandy Hook, let's be frank with the 9/11 thing. It's exactly the god darn thing, right? It's really is, and you got
to
get past it.
Well, the Boston,
it was
the Boston
really
bombing,
easy to see
the Boston bombing is simply ridiculous.
The Boston
the Sandy
ridiculous.
Hook thing took just a couple of days. It was like, wow, this is blatant.
Yeah, I mean, 9/11 was already happened before it happened. I mean, you can just look at coincidence pictures. I mean, I've got certain links that I can post on the chat. But I mean, there's really, really scary pictures that you can see, like the cover of the Breakfast in America in 1979. I mean, you look at that Supertramp album cover. I mean, I'm sure some of you guys are familiar with that. You have a close look at that. I mean, there's some really strange coincidences going on in those photographs. And I mean, this stuff gets planned years and years and years in advance, and stuff like Sandy Hook might have got planned years and years in advance. We don't know. But certainly, these things have to be convincing to the public to, for whatever reason, want to change their rules, change some ideas, get some agendas going, so we all believe in it, like psychic driving. They want to get people believing it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, there's so much out there that, you know, and you just, yeah, I've been doing a lot of research and, I mean, who claims to be true or not? I mean, this is the whole idea of it. Just like JFK, they keep throwing things around. I mean, just the other day, I heard another theory that, oh, one of the CIA or one of the Secret Service guys grabbed a machine gun, looked up the book depository, and then he shot JFK by accident. Like, come on. Like, this goes on and on and on.
I know.
Like,
I
saw that. And somewhere. They just keep you going and going and going and going.
That's why I never
did
the JFK, because by this time, I mean, look at all the disinfo
Nothing
on 9/11.
Happened.
Imagine all the disinfo I'd have to dig through on that. I'd have
yeah,
to call
you, know
you
what?
Jim, for some help on that. Which way to get
Yeah,
going.
Like, nothing happened, though. Like, that's the thing.
I
that's
actually,
the whole, that's
I
what
actually
I come
thought we were going to talk about JFK tonight, believe it or not. So I was surprised, you know, when we launched into the 9/11 stuff. But that's okay. I mean, that's what you guys had on your mind.
Oh, you thought we were talking about
so
JFK?
Much. I've done so much on JFK, and I'm waiting through all the muck, you know, to sort it out.
Yeah.
If you guys want to see the latest on JFK, you know, you can go to Veterans Today, Jim Fetzer, and it'll lead you to my author's page where I must have, you know, 24 or 30 articles on JFK, which is the latest research. And all since I published 3 collections of expert studies on different aspects of the case.
Yeah, we were going to do just 9/11, but we could definitely do a JFK show another time if you'd want to come back another time.
Oh,
you know?
Well, we got the 50th coming up next week. That's why I rather assume we'd be talking about JFK, but that's okay.
Oh,
yeah, maybe they'll
the
roll out the red carpet on the
50th.
Well, there's so much disinformation out there. It's the greatest stop in American, maybe even in world history. The government spending millions and millions of dollars to sell absolute rubbish. I mean, as that one of the Secret Service agents shot JFK. They don't point out that that would mean the front of his face would have been destroyed because the bullet is small, the hole is small going in but large coming out. And yet Jackie said his face was just fine, that from the front he looked fine, but she had a terrible time holding his skull and brains together on the drive to Parkland. I mean, all the witnesses reported a big blowout at the back of his head that was not caused by a Secret Service agent accidentally shooting him.
No.
I mean, it's unbelievably stupid, this stuff. But they figure the more muck they get up there, more uncertainty it's going to create in the mind of the public, where the objective of disinformation is not to persuade you one way or the other, but to make everything so up in the air that you can believe anything and know nothing.
Yeah, and I just think it didn't happen. And that's where I'm comfortable at, because it's obvious. that they just want to keep people going in circles. So for me, let's ask the question, did it really even happen? That way, you kind of discredit a lot of this stuff and you can get back to basics. This is the whole idea, and this is why people, they just get everyone running and running and running, and they want people to do that. They want the confusion. They want that out there. They because it's a brilliant, it's brilliantly crafted, and the craft behind it is to get everybody going in circles and talking, and it just simply didn't happen. I mean, it's just another fakery event that, and they got away with it.
We have another caller, guys.
Tell me what you mean, though. You mean, are you suggesting JFK wasn't assassinated?
It's possible. Yeah, it's possible. Very possible.
No, it isn't. It isn't possible. Jesus. I mean, just telling you.
It could be possible. Look, I'm not saying for sure, but it's possible.
It isn't possible. It's completely inconsistent with all the evidence. Look, man, I'm dealing with a world authority on the human brain, expert in wound ballistics, a PhD in physics, MD in... that people who are present in trauma room one, who actually was the last guy to close the eyes on the body before it was put into the coffin, and later, 2 days later, was taking care of Lee Oswald, his alleged assassin. The man is dead, for God's sake. Let him rest in peace.
What does Jim think about the fact that there was blood all in the seat, but then you see photographs of the back of Jackie or back of her dress, and it's pretty much blood-free. How did that happen?
Yeah.
Look, there was blood all over the place. Jackie held him in her arms the whole damn time to park when she had a chunk of his skull and brains she'd picked up from the back of the trunk in her hand the whole way there. After they pried his lifeless body out of her arms, she worked up the strength to enter the trauma room, walked over to the anesthesiologist, extended her hand and said, "Will this help?"
I have the photo. I have a link to the photo right here. There's no but you see the blood all on the seat, but it's not on this. It's not on her seat. It's not on the seat of her pants. It's not on the seat of her dress. I mean, that's a physical impossibility as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Okay. I've spent 20 years on this. I've worked with the best people on this. You believe whatever you want. It's okay with me.
I mean, what's your opinion?
Jim, how come your information isn't out there then? If you're it sounds like you're pretty plain that this is.
What do you mean my information isn't out there? I've done 1,000 interviews.
Your information is so compelling. I mean, this is the first I've heard. Wow, you're telling me that this is, she's held his brains and all this stuff. And I never ever heard of that before. This is the first I've heard.
Well, the Warren Commission did. The Warren Commission didn't publish her testimony on the grounds of privacy, but of course it was because it blew apart their theory that the shots had been fired from above and behind. Look, that's what I'm telling you, man. If you don't get deeply into it, you're not going to begin to understand what happened. You're very complicated. They altered the x-rays to conceal the blowout of the back of the head. This David Manick went in and used a technique from physics called optical densitometry and define the area that they had patched. Because there was no place for the brains to go once they patched the skull, they had to substitute someone else's brain for that of JFK, so that you got a world authority concluding that the brain seen in the diagrams and photographs in the National Archives is not that of JFK, because the physician after physician at Parkland was describing cerebral and cerebellar tissue extruding from the wound, whereas the diagram of the photographs of the brain show a virtually completely intact brain. The Zapruder film was massively revised because the driver, William Greer, pulled the limousine to the left and to a halt to make sure JFK would be killed. This was the kind of stuff I thought we were going to talk about tonight, to tell you the truth.
Hey, Jim, quick question regarding JFK. What do you think about Jackie Onassis, when she went and married Onassis? Isn't that, he's kind of runs with the elite circles there now, isn't that,
He was like the richest man in the world. He could provide her the greatest degree of security. She was very concerned and apprehensive at that point in her life that she and her children might be vulnerable. And, she married him for security. They had a prenup that was so specific it even specified when he could have sex with her.
Oh, wow.
Well, so the Zapruder film, you think that's all that's kind of just made for the public viewing? It was obviously there is evidence that has been altered. I mean, tons of it, lots of accounts that video is not credible.
I published a 500-page book entitled "The Great Zapruder Film Hoax."
Okay, good. So if that's a hoax, then okay, the moon landing's a hoax, right?
Yeah, well,
I'm not going to go off topic, but I'm just saying it's an example.
The moon landing is a hoax.
So what we're seeing is a hoax. So why not question all of that then? Why not question, like, it just seems to me like, why would that whole Suputer film be a hoax then? Why would they do that?
They use footage. They did it because the driver, William Greer, pulled the limousine to the left and to a halt after bullets began to be fired to make sure the man would be killed. And during the halt, he was hit twice in the head. He was hit in the back of the head and he slumped forward. He had a back brace on. Jack eased him back up, was looking him right in the face when he was hit in the right temple by a frangible or exploding bullet that blew his brains out the back of his already weakened cranium with such force that when they hit motorcycle patrolman Bobby Hargis riding there, he initially thought he himself had been shot. That was such a blatant indication of Secret Service complicity, they could not leave it in.
Right. Well,
we got 60 witnesses who saw the limousine either slow dramatically or come to a complete halt, where it slowed dramatically as it came to a complete halt. There are at least a half a dozen people who have seen what appears to be the unedited film, and they see the limousine turn from Houston on down. They see the driver come to an abrupt halt. They see the two shots to the head. It's all there in the film before it was edited. They took the original to the National Photographic Interpretation Center on Saturday. It was an 8mm already split film that had been developed in Dallas. They had to go out and have a shop owner open his shop to buy an 8mm projector so they could watch it. And then on Sunday, the revised film, a 16mm unsplit film, was brought down from Rochester, where the CIA has a secret lab known as Hawkeye Works adjacent to Kodak headquarters. And there are five different physical features that distinguish the two films, but enormous differences in content. And they did such a crude job of painting over the blowout on the back of his head that a group of Hollywood film restoration experts who are looking at it now have just been dumbfounded by the crudity. And it occurred to me that maybe they were focusing so much on those early frames that they ignored that it might be visible in later frames. And I found in frame 374, you can actually see the blowout at the back of the head.
Right. Well, no. Yeah.
So the film's not even internally consistent.
Yeah. Well.
Wow. That's what I'm doing. I'm giving all these interviews on JFK, see. So this kind of came talking about the victims and all that, you know. I mean, I understand the appeal, but it wasn't really what I was expecting tonight. It's okay.
I'm sorry I got off topic there. I just, you know.
I'm glad you got off talking. I'd rather be talking about JFK because, you know, I've organized a whole conference for the 50th. I've chaired or co-chaired 54 national conferences in Minneapolis in 1999, in Dallas in 2000, in Dallas in 2001, in Duluth in 2003. And now I'm chairing my fifth JFK national conference in Santa Barbara on the 22nd, which is the 50th observance of his assassination.
Who do you think killed JFK? Was that a question?
It was a consortium. Lyndon Johnson was a key player, but the CIA, the Secret Service set him up. There are more than 15 indications of setting him up. The CIA, military, anti-Castro Cubans, local law enforcement, and Lyndon's personal hitman took him out. There were shooters at six different locations. Jack and Bob was hit four different times. The FBI was used to cover it up. J. Edgar and Lyndon Johnson were principals with financing from Texas oilmen. That's the short of it.
Wow. That's just so much confusion.
Well, it's
what do you think of the Dimona theory?
Well, Israel had a motive, you know, because Jack was opposing the development of nuclear weapons by Israel. Get in line. He wanted to shatter the CIA into 1,000 pieces. He'd already directed the Pentagon to supervise any of their paramilitary activities, which displeased both the CIA and the Pentagon. The Pentagon was upset because Jack had not invaded Cuba against their unanimous recommendation. He'd signed an above-ground test ban treaty with the Soviet Union against their unanimous opposition. He was pulling our forces out of Vietnam, where the chief thought that a stand had to be taken against the expansion of international godless communism. He'd instructed the Department of the Treasury to print tens of millions of United States notes. I remember as a Marine Corps officer holding one of these in my hand. It had a red embossed imprint. It said United States note instead of green Federal Reserve note because he thought it was absurd that the United States should be paying interest to a consortium of private banks to print the currency of the United States. He was cracking down on organized crime for the first time in its history. Bobby was bringing more prosecutions, indictments, and convictions ever before. J. Edgar had sex dossiers on all the members of Congress, but the mafia had one on Edgar. So that, you know, he never even acknowledged the existence of organized crime until after the Joe Valachi hearings, when it was all described in such detail, he could no longer deny it. And of course, he was going to cut the oil depletion allowance, which the Texas oilmen regarded as akin to their divine right. So he was making all these moves that antagonized all these powerful special interest groups. Lyndon and the anti-Castro Cubans, of course, thought that he had betrayed them at the Bay of Pigs. So one of the shooters was an anti-Castro Cuban. But Lyndon was in the key pivotal position to coordinate all these groups and make it come about. In fact, Billy Saul Estes explained to a friend who was a Texas Wheeler dealer, made Lyndon and Connally all this money, that Lyndon had sent Cliff Carter, his chief administrative assistant, down to Dallas to make sure all the arrangements were in place for the assassination. If you want to read two really good books about it, try James Douglas, JFK and the Unspeakable, which explains how he antagonized all these powerful interest groups. Mm. And then read Phil Nelson's LBJ, Mastermind of JFK's Assassination, which explains what they did about it. There's a new book, too, by a guy by the name of Roger Stone that is making an impact, because this guy is a well-known GOP political operative. He worked for Reagan and Nixon and helped to get W, elected in Florida using dirty tricks. So he has a kind of credibility that differs from other students. It's very difficult to dismiss him as a conspiracy theorist. The title of his book, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ.
Wow.
I just interviewed him on my show. I just interviewed him on my show on Monday.
So this 50th anniversary will be pretty interesting because, you know, for obvious reasons, there's going to be a lot of people coming out of all kinds of woodwork, I'm sure. And, you know, I don't know what's going to take place on that day, but maybe nothing. But it just seems to me that, you know, there's a lot of unanswered questions. And, I mean, it's just...
Well, they're especially unanswered if you haven't been studying the case, you know. I mean, I spent 20 years on this. I spent 20 years on this.
We have another caller, guys. Let's...
I'm saying is that, you know, it's like anything else. It's like 9/11. Until you study it, you have no idea what happened.
Or
Boston or Sandy Hook or the Murrah building, for all that, you know. It's one of these cases where the public just doesn't have the time or the inclination to devote itself to figure these things out.
Yeah. All right. Who's the guy, who's the one that just called it?
This is Mike here.
Hey, what's up, Mike? Where are you calling from?
Oh, it's Orange, California.
Welcome to Dose of Reality. You're on with Brian Stavely, Justin Cook, James Sloan, and Professor James Fetzer.
Well, good evening to all of you.
All right, it's buddy. Fetzer, anything you wanted to talk about specifically?
Heck yeah, I want to talk about some 9/11 stuff specifically.
All right, like what?
Professor Fetzer, I have listened to tons and tons of your shows. I'm talking about dozens and dozens of them, and you've had lots of 9/11 shows on.
Oh yeah, terrific. Yeah, no, I'm real pleased. Thank you. I'm
One
glad.
Born Free is One Born Free is your most.
Yeah, I've even had One Born Free on, and we have very strong differences, but I believe in letting every point of view be represented. So.
Oh, good. And this is probably this Real News Online is the closest you're going to get to media fakery concerning One Born Free, correct? I mean, you have to agree with that, right?
I'm not quite sure how you put it exactly.
What I meant by that, this whole website, the Real News Online, is about media fakery. It's about, you can go ahead and do a simple Google search on how it towers. You can see the motherfuckers are empty. Excuse my language. You can see the things were empty. You can see their
emotions. Well, you know, that one spectacular photograph appears to me have been taken when they were under construction, because you still have a crane.
If
there was only one, I would agree with you, but there's many. And Brian knows this too. Brian Stavely here knows this too. And Justin, all these guys know this. They've been researching this stuff for a long time now. They're not dealing with newbies. These guys know this stuff. Now, there's a list
that's good.
Scientific there is a list of scientific facts they've been trying to present to you. And it seems like you're out, with all respect, sir, because like I said, I'm going to continue to listen. I will be listening to you on your next show and your next show after that. But it does seem like you're just saying, oh, well, you know, I just haven't looked at the evidence, and that's just good enough, when it really, really is not. I mean, for Christ's sake, you are the leader of the 9/11 movement. The whole reason they have you on this show is because of your background and your history and your 20 million shows that you have on your website that everybody's tuning into. So you do have a responsibility to answer some questions right up front and for real. Do you agree?
Yeah,
amen.
I can't agree with you more. That's great.
Well, I thought that's what I've been doing. I mean, you know, we've been talking about this.
Oh, no, you haven't. Not in the least. You've been saying, well, I haven't looked there. I haven't looked at the collapse footage. I haven't had it closely. And I'm sorry, but, you know, you watched Ace Baker's movie, didn't you? You said you did. You even had him on your show at the end of his movie, 9/11, The Great American Psyop. At the end of his show, he talks about the rocket trails that come off all falling debris. Like, so on a rock on the ground, it's going to have a rocket trail behind it. What do you say about that?
Ridiculous.
What can you say about that? Come on. That is the most – what else? How do you just obfuscate that?
What did he say there? Repeat it.
What did he say at the end of his movie?
Yeah.
Where he goes ahead and shows falling debris being covered up by smoke, having rocket trails. He goes right into it on 9/11, the Great American Psyop. You can't just forget about this because you're at the forefront of this. You don't remember.
I don't know why. You know, Ace and I mean, he faked suicide on a show of mine.
But that has nothing to do with it.
Well, it was very...
Yeah, I brought that up to you last time you were on, remember? I played the clip.
Yeah. No, I'll go back and look at it, you know.
All right. You need to go back and look at it. That doesn't help us tonight. But how about this? The building collapsed faster than gravity would allow. Answer us where else that can happen except for on TV with CGI. Where else can that happen? Where else?
No, it just means there was some explosive force. Like, look, a plane can crash into the ground faster than gravity, for God's sake. It just means that explosion's going
that's
on above it.
Traveling in air, though. Come on, Jim. That's traveling in air and dive bombing. That's not something that's supposedly collapsing. That's not throwing a rock off the top of a building and it falling faster than gravity. That's adding propulsion to it. You know this. You're smarter than I am. I know this. What are you doing?
Well, the buildings were being blown in a sequence that was intended to simulate a collapse. It wasn't a real collapse, but, I mean, you know, it's just a matter of how rapidly.
Jim. You know they weren't just blown. Come on. They were turning to dust in midair. That is not just being blown. You can't do that to steel because that's not what happens to steel. You know this, Jim. You're smart. Like I said, you're a much smarter man than I am. I've listened to a ton of your shows. You really need to have some good answers for this, or step on the right side of people who are trying to bring out the truth of this fact.
And the truth of it is exactly what? What am I missing? I mean, you know, I don't mind, you know, you're having, huh?
Like I said, let me step back a few. Let me repeat myself one more time. Everything was a movie that day. Nothing was real, and you should agree with that. Not only because Brian Staley tells you that the Social Security Death Index states specifically they weren't even there to die inside the building. Not only because the buildings were hollow, a simple Google search shows you, but because things were turning to dust in midair, you know this, because they fell faster than the speed of gravity. You know that can't happen. You know these things, Jim.
Hi. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we hear you. Just let this other guy finish. We'll let you go.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Finish up.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Jim, what if I went ahead and tried to say something that was so salacious that it just sounded like I was bullshitting and wouldn't look at the facts? What would you think of me, Jim? You would say, listen, I'm trying to keep away what I really believe, or I'm trying to be a chill. I don't know. I don't like to use words like that because I have a lot of respect for you, and I, like I said, I'll be a listener, for a long, long time to come. I have been for a long time since. But you are not being honest about this, and we just want to know why. Because we know that you'd be a great leader in this movement
if you're
just honest to the things
look,
that
if anybody knows, if anybody knows
no, no,
me,
no,
they
no.
know.
Don't start defending yourself, Jim.
Listen, listen to me.
Here. We know you have integrity. Just
well, why are you implying I'm not
at the evidence?
Why are you implying I'm not honest? I'm dealing with all of this as much as I can. I'm exposing all the fakery, all the plane crashes are fake. The explosion
is
it.
This is why, Jim. This is why we're thinking that you're obfuscating what seems to be the fact of the matter. Let me finish, Jim, real quick.
This is getting a little tedious, frankly.
Jim.
It's getting a little tedious to have me come on and hear a lot of bullshit.
I'm not trying to give you any bullshit, sir. I said, you have my utmost respect.
I've already explained that it seems to me you couldn't possibly fake explosions of this degree of complexity and have them all come out right from all these different directions, some of them across from New Jersey, some very high detailed, very precise photographs, some from the air. I don't think it's possible to fake it. I think that's a ridiculous theory.
Why don't we take a break?
Bottom line on it. Now, the faking victims, that's a whole nother matter. That would be relatively easy. Faking what actually happened on 9/11, when all the photographs, you got them on the ground, you got them in the air, you got them from everywhere.
No,
it all coincides.
It's possible to fake it.
It's most easy to fake, but photographs.
I don't believe it is. How would they even know what the hell they were going to fake, you know? I mean, the destruction of this kind had never taken place before. How would they even know what they were going to model to fake it?
Because they knew they were going to do this when they built the buildings, Jim. You know this because you see the hollow towers, my friend.
No, I don't. I'm not a hollow towers guy. You guys are the hollow towers guy. I'm not a hollow towers guy.
The Pentagon
is
nothing.
The pictures? We're going to take our last break real quick, and we'll come right back.
Brian, look, I got to crash, man. You know, I've got so many interviews, all this stuff about JFK, and it's great to have me in here to beat up on me. I love it. I'm sure I deserve it, but there's a time where I'm just going to, you know, I'll take all the advice you've given me to heart. I think it's great, and you're doing a terrific job. And you may very well have seen something that I haven't seen yet, but it's not for a lack of trying. I think it's a, you raise great questions. And if, you know, if I can find merit in that, I will certainly revise my views accordingly.
Well, as the good old movie says, as good as, what is that? A few good men. You can't handle the truth, possibly, you know, really, because you are being challenged. You're being challenged. And there's somebody being challenged, and you've got it. He's challenging you, and we all are. I mean,
Good. Okay, you're all challenging me. Good.
Well, it's okay, but it's okay to be challenged. It's okay. Mike is making a good point. He's making a point. Come on, now you have to admit.
I don't believe in the towers, and I don't see any way in which they could have faked the destruction of the Twin Towers. It was just too complicated. If you want to say there are ways in which they could take original films and then alter them to make them look fake, that's something that could be done.
Come on, Jim.
But this was such a complicated phenomenon. Have you looked at those very precise photographs taken from New Jersey, for God, what is it, Bill Bessett?
You mean from Judy Wood, Jim? You mean from Judy Wood, my friend?
I don't care about Judy. I did what I could to promote her work at
the
time I thought it was worth studying. Huh?
Are those the pictures you're talking about, sir?
Judy Wood didn't take any pictures.
Well,
I'm talking about a guy named.
No, I don't.
Hold on. Let me go.
I'm too tired for this. Okay, you guys are great. I'm glad you had me on, and you know, you've given me lots to think about, and I really appreciate it. Okay.
All right, Jim. Thanks for coming on, and I'll send you a copy of that blog tomorrow or something.
Thank you, Jim, for listening to me, sir.
Yeah, I heard you. Thanks. Thanks a lot, Brian. You take care. Bye.
All right. Have a good one.
Brian, I didn't mean to shoo him off. I was trying to do a good job, not a shoo him off job.
I should have been more careful preparing your questions for Jim. In my opinion, this is Atahan Gandu from San Francisco, California. Hello?
Yes, Los Angeles.
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, man, I think that I think you have some really good questions, and we got some pretty good information out of Mr. Jim Fetzer.
Yeah, he got a little more agitated this time, but I told you guys, we pressed him a little hotter if we had to. If he got agitated, oh well, it's the third time we did a show with him, so,
yeah,
we ask him anything outrageous. We never called him a liar or a shill or anything like that.
Yeah.
We just ask logical questions, and when people get that mad about logical questions, it kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it?
That's
well,
it.
Hey, he put up
Pantelli,
Brian. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, here's my view on this. I think that creating the agitation, you know, that's, I mean, yeah, you can show people that, you know, he's agitated. He gets agitated when he gets confronted and things like that. But I think it would be better if we could get some clear answers. You know, really
he don't
pin
have
it down
them.
To something.
Yeah, he doesn't have them. That's the thing. Like, I agree with you, Mike. But that's the problem. You came on pretty calmly, but he seems to just get so bent on this. Oh, I've done all the investigations. I'm done. Let's wash our hands of it. But we're talking about it. We can't just stop at that. We want to ask questions.
Yeah.
We want to ask the validity of what you've been investigating.
Tell us we've done a good job looking at fake victims and things like that, and be the co-founder of 9/11 Scholars for Truth, and you've not looked at this after all these years, and then when it's brought up to 10 months ago, you haven't looked at it yet, and you're too busy looking at World War III, he says, back then, and now it's 10 months later, and he still hasn't looked at it. We're going to let this show run for a few minutes since we got six people here. I'm going to step away from the mic for a minute. You guys just keep talking. We're live on the air, though, okay? I'll be right back.
Great.
I had fun. I can't believe I made him hang up since he put up with Santilli for so long. You guys listen to that show, for Christ's sake?
But my hat goes off to you, though, Mike, because you're actually you challenged the so-called big man, and he ran away. And I mean, you're just, hey, what was that all about? Like, why run away? What did I do?
I tried to show him respect, you know, I did.
I would just give Jim the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, he's so busy studying stuff, supposedly.
Yeah, sure. I know. Like, of course, but honestly, if he wants to come on a show like this, he's got to expect people like Mike and myself and other people that are gonna, let's challenge it, right? Like, he's in the wrong line of work if he cannot handle that. I mean, people get heckled on stage all the time. You gotta be prepared to. Right. So, I mean, we're just calling in. We're listening. We call in. I'm curious about this.
Well, Judy, we're just calling him a dancing clown or some kind of crap like that. I mean, for Christ's sake, no one's calling our names tonight. They were just holding them to the facts. That's what I saw, guys.
Well, and also, it's just he seems to just keep us going around and around like he's poisoning the well almost. Like, that's what I kind of get out of it. Like, he's constantly poisoning the well where he just leads us all to nowhere all the time. You know what I mean? Like, there's no real, like Mike said, there's no real, let's get to the heart of the matter, you know?
Yeah, I think he's pretty good at that.
Here's my opinion. I think that most of it has to do with the fact that he's still trying to keep one foot in the mainstream truther circle. And
Tougher and tougher,
right, Justin?
Oh, I'd like to insert something here. What if he said, what if Jim Fetzer was asked questions which we know that he won't touch, you know, issues that he won't touch, such as those survivors in the Stairwell B, you know, in the World Trade Center? They're at the bottom. You guys ever hear about that?
Yeah, the ones they made the movie about, or the fireman ones? Yeah.
Yeah,
those
guys were at the bottom of the building, and they said they looked up and saw blue sky. Thought that was pretty interesting.
Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, if the footage is to be taken to be real, they would have seen nothing but dust.
Yeah, well, you should hear what Jay Jonas said.
The center of building collapsing around you.
I think Jay Jonas said... I don't know if this is the exact quote, but I think I have it correctly. He said, "Guys, there used to be 106 floors above us. Now I'm seeing sunshine."
I know.
This building doesn't exist. That's what he said. So consider that.
God himself would get hit in that circumstance.
But I don't get Jim Fetzer's take on it. Like, he says one thing. He says he agrees with all the fakery, and then all of a sudden it sounds like he's not. Like, I get kind of, you know, like he's just going around and around. Like, what are you doing?
Well,
like, he's trying to tell us one thing.
He's
amazing.
Well, here's what it is. I think he's trying to appease people by you know, giving credence to the Willie Rodriguez's and the you know, the Scott Forbes's types, and you know, and anybody still left in that. And I think he realizes that we do have a good case for a lot of this fakery stuff. So he's, you know, like I said, he's got 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And because he's a big, you know, big name, he's not willing to say this stuff, you know, on a big forum, I think is, you know, and obviously, you know, it takes a big, you know, big leap for people to say, you know, nobody died. And I think that's, he's trying to avoid that. And he's trying to avoid, you know, a couple other things, which,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a mainstream concept whatsoever.
Right.
I'm trying out now. I got to put these kids to sleep. But I just want to say one last thing. If you want to be, in my opinion, if you want to be up to date on 9/11 research, read the book, Where Did the Towers Go? By Dr. Judy Wood. If you read that book, you will know what physically happened to the towers that day. And you'll never look at it the same way again. Promise.
What?
Okay. Good night, guys.
Cool.
Good night, guys. I can't believe you brought up Judy Wood because I don't believe a freaking thing she says, to be honest with you guys. No, she says.
Neither do I. You know, the whole thing about
it's another controlled opposition. It's just another.
Yeah. Why would we need all these exotic weapons if it's, you know, if the buildings are already empty and everything else? That's, you know, I think that's pretty much, you know, what cancels out Judy Woods aside from all
Here's what I want to say about this. He had Phil Jahan and Larry McWilliams on his show, and they presented their Hollow Towers research, and he had nothing to say to it. He said it was fascinating. It was, you know, he was all for it. And then since that show, he just completely rejects the idea.
Right.
This one you mean, or no? This one, Jim, or no?
Yeah, Jim had Phil Jahan and Larry on his show 3 years ago.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, that's actually where I found out about the Hollow Towers, more or less, you know, where I started looking into it more. You know, a lot of people did, I think, from that exposure of it.
And they showed him the blatant construction photos and videos that show that large sections of the towers were never completed. We've got those videos up in the group, and Fetzer's response was as typical, "Oh, that's fascinating," you know. But he never took it any further, and he seems to have rejected the idea completely now, with no basis.
Right.
No, I think he's full of shit about some things. To be honest with you, I don't think he was, and I don't want to talk about the man when he's not here. But obviously, you guys heard the same thing. He was not putting up with anything he didn't want to hear, and he was gone.
No, that's exactly, man. I'm with you. I totally, like, as soon as you bring up something, he's just, you're right. He's just not up front. Like, let's, you know, come on.
One thing I will say, I will give him credit for coming on here, you know, regardless of, you know what I mean? I have to agree with you guys, but no, I mean, I will give him credit for coming on here, you know.
Well, he'd have whooped our ass, Justin, if we were talking about JFK. He didn't know he was going to be talking about 9/11.
I'm back. Yeah, dude, I didn't ever even ask him to talk about JFK. He knew he was coming on to talk about 9/11. That's not even a question, man. He knew exactly what he was coming out to talk
Brian
about.
Brian doesn't do JFK. We, you know what I mean? We know that, you know.
Never once have I done JFK. For the simple fact that there's so much disinformation on 9/11. How much do you think there is on JFK?
I asked him to come on to talk about
9/11. I said, people enjoyed our last two 9/11 shows. Could you come on and do another one?
He popped his balloon after the JFK conversation, and he kind of just,
Would you remember the other show that we did when he talked about JFK in the beginning and it took 23 minutes to get to 9/11?
Yep. Not only then, because you stopped him.
Yeah, only because I cut it. I'm like, can we get to 9/11 now?
Well, wow. You know, it's been, it's,
but don't feel like you ran him off the stage here. I mean, you asked him difficult questions, and he didn't. If he wants to dodge questions, he's got to expect you to be persistent. If he can't handle that, then that's, you know.
Hey, it's like a comedian. It's like shit. A comedian, man. It's like a comedian. You get on stage, you got to expect some of the hecklers, right? You got to, if you're in this line of work, you got to, hey, that's, you should be the guy that's had all the answers. You claim that you've done all this research. Well,
right.
You know,
he's
let's,
man,
let's.
He's a 9/11 movement leader.
There you go. What are you running away from? If you're such a professional, come on.
He knows all the stuff about JFK. He's been studying it for 50 years. And when I asked him about why were there no blood on the back of Jackie's dress, he didn't have anything to say about it. He acted like he never heard of it.
See how he runs away just like the 9/11, like Mike. As soon as Mike asked questions, just like the blood of Jackie Kennedy, like you asked, he has that same response. See, I'm paying attention to him, and he has that weird same response. It's like, well, you know, he kind of goes off.
He knows everything, but that
home,
particular aspect is not important.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting because it's been 14 months basically since we first had him on, and in regards to Willie and Scott Forbes, he's just peddled almost the exact same diatribe word for word. You know, you could have been listening to the first show. He's not looked into it at all. And like when I challenged him on the Scott Forbes show that he did, which I've listened to before, he's like, "Oh, I don't remember that." You know,
right? Yeah. He's a round and around guy.
The reason I'm bringing that Scott Forbes thing up is important because he's the one that brings up Scott Forbes as one of his, great, credible witnesses, just like Willie. We both know they're both full of shit. And it's so easy to prove it.
I said to him last time, he had no answer for this. That power down theory is ridiculous. I mean, regardless of the towers being hollow, we know that the viewing platforms were there. You know, they say 50,000 people visited those every day, so you know, that's 100,000 tourists they would have had to turn away from that tower over the course of the weekend. We know the towers are mostly hollow, but we certainly know that the viewing platform was on the South Tower. And, yeah, you know, there would have been like 100,000 tourists that would have been turned away. And actually, people have posted online ticket stubs who went to the observation deck of the South Tower during this, a few days before 9/11, during the time
like
where
on
he
the
said,
of the night and shit.
Yeah, where he said the building was powered down. So I mean, that whole theory, and plus we have the music video for the Bryan Adams song "New York, New York," which was shot on the Friday night, a few days before 9/11, and that shows the building was lit up at night. Yeah. It wasn't powered down, as he said. So,
did you
but
see how I brought
no
it up to him again, and he acted ignorant to it, like he's never heard of it? You specifically brought it up to him last time.
Well, you mentioned it also when you were on his show.
Yeah, this is the third time he's heard about it, and he still acts like Scott Forbes is a credible witness. Well, the guy's lying to you about the power down. So, I mean, why should we listen?
Selective memory syndrome. I mean, what? The building swallowed the plane. What, did it open its mouth and swallow the plane? What are you talking about?
You know, my opinion on this is like anything. It's kind of like, he's buying into anything that fits into his theory. You know, if it doesn't fit in with his theory, then it doesn't get included. So any witness.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
And talking about Scott Forbes, and he was saying that that he saw the plane approaching, and that's what it said in the Killtown interview too. So I'm asking, well, he didn't actually see. And then he was like treating that like that's not even an issue. Well, that is the exact issue. And then he comes back later with the guy told him that he saw it swallow the plane. Well, it doesn't say that in the Killtown interview. I think that's a pertinent point to put in any interview. Why would that not be in the Killtown interview, that he saw the building swallow the plane?
Yeah, right.
Well, Jim believes in a flyover for the Pentagon. So Why would he be so dismissive of that idea? I don't know.
Exactly. I know. There's no logical consistency at all in any of his points.
That's right. It's like watching Alex Jones. You know, you're not going anywhere. Like,
double think,
good night. You know, it's the same thing. This guy's, you know, he's just, it's crazy.
I think they're training. They're trying to train
us
how to
think.
He's
like the Alex Jones for a different crowd of people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe it is just for a certain level. Maybe it's just for a certain level of people who don't have more time to look into this farther. And that's where you wind up sitting. You let someone else tell you what to believe about everything, I guess.
It's so confusing.
It's for the people that, barely truthers, like just barely. They still watch Fox News and stuff. Like, I'll be at the gym, and I don't have a TV at my house, but I'll be at the gym doing cardio or whatever, and I'll purposely sit on the bike that has Fox News on so I can see what propaganda they're pushing. And I'll see Fetzer, he's on there a lot. Like,
it's interesting.
So he, like, represents the 9/11 truth movement.
It's interesting you say that because he made the claim during your show that he has no income, he has a very modest life. Well, how much is he being paid for those Fox News appearances? That's what I wanted
Fox
to ask
News
him.
All the time.
There you go.
A couple times a month.
Is he? Well, I don't know.
Well, he's got good background too.
I think we have the answer then, because not for nothing, him admitting it's fake, won't fly good with Fox News, and he won't be asked on again. So, you know, there goes the income from that.
Yeah, he's just playing into the whole media.
That's not cool.
I agree. I'm just, you know.
Fox News.
I love his laugh, though. You guys got to love his laugh. Such a belly laugh.
it's fascinating.
he gave us like a schoolgirl. It's interesting though, because Fox News have had Morgan Reynolds on spouting no plan stuff before.
Yeah, he did. They made him look a little crazy though.
Well, when is it possible that JFK didn't die? He's like, whoa, I just freaked out over that. Like, well, it's possible. Yeah, I'm not saying it's real. It's just it's possible.
I think that pissed him off more than the 9/11.
I started to bring up a point, and when you guys kind of beat me to my next one, I was like, so you think the Zapruder film might have been altered or faked or whatever, or doctored? And then when you guys cut in, because I was going to go to the moon coverage next, and I was going to ask him what he thought about the moon shit, and then I was going to be like, you don't think years later the 9/11 stuff could be fake? I mean, you can make this stuff in Hollywood for... I mean, we saw better looking crash physics in Star Wars in 1977, you know?
They could outsource it to Korea and ship it back over here and play it on TV for all we know.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because he conceded that Sandy Hook, Boston, all that was fake. 9/11 had elements of fakery. Moon landing was fake. This is your template. Your template involves at least partial fakery. Why would he be
so
dismissive
fake, though,
of it?
He might not mean fake and no death, James. Like, I bet his idea of Sandy Hook being fake is it was a false flag of sorts, but people really
died. No, he said very clearly that no kids died.
Oh, did he? Okay. Is he incorrect in that? My bad. I didn't know what his stance was on that. I just figured that's what he would have said.
But yeah, the point is he's so dismissive of... I mean, JFK was only one person, for crying out loud. I mean, it'd be pretty easy to fake the death of one person. Versus, you know, 20, 30 school kids. The whole thing is, to me, is like, well, you know, like, I mean, we know this, like, you notice Jim doesn't get much into numerology and the Illuminati and stuff, like, but you don't get to be the president if you're not controlled, you know, you don't need to kill the president, he doesn't have that much power, you know?
Right, and there's another thing, too, that has to do with that, you know, the fact of him supposedly... printing up money, you know, that was going to mess with the Fed. That's actually been debunked thoroughly. Bill Still actually put out a video this week recently. So you know, I mean, there's another thing that just, you know, a lot of the so-called truthers, you know, over the years have pushed that, and I even heard him say it. I didn't bring it out, but I actually heard this a while back, but it's thoroughly debunked in, you know, Bill Still's video where, you know, he shows that he actually... aided the bankers. You know, he actually, you know, wasn't. You have to watch the video to see it, but it's, you know, they did the same thing 3 or 4 times. It wasn't like JFK was the only one to do it, and it wasn't like he had control over it, you know, and it wasn't like it did put the Fed out of business or anything like that.
It does seem like the bankers are behind all this bullshit. They got all the money to do it.
Of course. I mean, yeah, the bankers, you know, they run everything, but I mean, they run the presidents as well. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you know, I don't know if JFK was faked or not. I'm not going to pretend to, you know, to have the definitive evidence of that. But I do know that, you know, that either way that, you know, as we realized from being in the 9/11 movement, that they don't care, you know, what you believe. They just, you know, they want dissension, you know, in the ranks pretty much. And, you know, they just don't want you to realize, you know, the truth that I'm, you know. So, I mean, really, when it comes down to it, I don't know. I don't, you know, the bankers are running the show, of course, but. You know what means? What do they want us? They want a controlled, you know, controlled revolution or something like that. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what I see is this Fukushima thing just might be bigger than we ever thought it might be, and it might go right along with some kind of World War III plan. I don't know. I don't know, but it seems like there's a big ball of wax and it's coming at us right now. I don't know. I think we're going to find out pretty darn soon, I guess. I think if the dollar crashes, hey, what's left? You know what I'm saying? Something big and new, and they're going to be in charge just the same. They're not letting us go without winding up in charge.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, yeah. No, we're headed to hell in a handbasket. I do think that they're, you know, my opinion, though, is I think they're going to get close to crashing the dollar. They're not going to actually crash it. You know, they're going to get close to it, and they're going to take money out of people's bank accounts, similar to what they did in Cyprus. You know, maybe cut off EBTs, and let riots ensue, and then, you know, bring in the UN. And, you know, it's, you know, that would be, of course, you know, and that way, here's the deal. They're propping up China. They're propping up, you know, Africa for, you know, you know, the so-called free trade agreements. So, you know, it's very simple. They don't, the so-called New World Order doesn't need a superpower. There is no superpowers in that, you know, so we're going to suffer from austerity while the rest, you know, while the bankers get rich and everybody's kind of on an even playing keel, but not, you know, not equal, but even, you know what I'm saying? Evenly fucked.
I'm like a precious metals type of guy, and I listen to Chris DeWayne, and I listen to those type of shows, and those websites. I go ahead and I listen to SilverDoctors.com, and I'm there like every single day. And you guys seem to think that fiat money is going by the wayside, and we can go back to real money, which is gold and silver. Well, I don't know, but that's what they seem to say, and it sounds pretty reasonable to me.
Well, I actually believe it, and I actually think it's a ploy. I think it's, you know, here's the deal: when you get gold or silver backing the economy, they can do the same thing they do now. It's just as easy, you know, as with so-called fiat money. So I mean, really, the enemy is interest. The enemy is usury. As far as, that's another scam, that we've been put under, and that's to follow the Austrian model, you know. And in my opinion, it's where they're going to cash in on this, and they're going to, you know, be equal with the bankers. And it seems like that's what they want to do. They want to put, you know, a gold-backed currency, which they can manipulate. Because think about it. Does America have any gold in our possession? No, they stole it all. It's all in the Rothschild's hands or the Vatican or whatever. So,
well, I don't know if they plan on America being on top in the end.
Well, no, it's of course not. But what I'm saying though is whatever they do with it, it's going to be manipulated currency. So I mean, all this, you know, people talk about gold and silver. Well, you know, they can devalue those just as easily. You know, all they have to do is flood the market with it. You know, uh-huh. Think about it. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say no. I understand what you're saying, they, but I don't know if they are all just one big satanic entity, or if they are feuding between themselves Back. At some point and pissed off because, you know, China's tired, because China's been around for a long freaking time, and they're not they may sound like they're going under, but I don't think they're going under anywhere.
No, they're not going under. They're being propped up. China is going to, you know, they're going to be
they
the
are,
epicenter.
They're buying all the gold and all the silver along with the rest of the BRICS companies,
right.
And I think BRICS countries, I mean.
Right, but you see, the thing is you notice all these countries are countries that don't give a shit about their people. You know what I'm saying? So really, in essence, they won't know if the bankers are just taking it and robbing them. You see what I'm saying? So you know, yes, China's economy is propped up. Is their average citizen going to benefit from it? No more than we would benefit all, you know, off of anything else. So no, I do think they're making a push to prop up the BRICS countries, no doubt about it. You know, I would check out realcurrencies.com. You know, he breaks a lot of this stuff down. You know, Anthony knows a lot more than I do in this stuff, but I seem to think, as far as, you know, I've gone as far as a lot of it, I think a lot of this is, you know, an example of controlled opposition pushing different, you know, stories or whatever, but I don't know. We kind of get off topic, but you know, either way, I don't know. I think we're all in agreement that, you know, that we're getting fucked either way. So,
who knows with the superpower? I mean, England was a superpower not too long ago. Could it change? You know.
Well, they prop up who they want. It was America's turn. Now America is being, you know, they're picking
still
our
is a like, superpower. They just kind of did it the Roman way, and they're kind of doing it under the skies now. You know, you think
they're still
a superpower?
Well, England the whole time is, you know, has been really, you know, if you think about it, whether you believe the Jesuit angle or whether you believe the Rothschild angle, I tend to believe both angles, that they're both, you know, in cahoots, but regardless of who you believe is on top, they're more using England as a flagship, you know, pretty much when in essence it all goes to Rome. You know what I mean? Or,
well, what I meant is the public perception is that America is the superpower, but that,
oh, right.
You know, it was England, you know,
right.
You know, many years ago, and who knows, could it be China next? Who the heck knows?
I'm thinking it's going to be, you know, the BRICS countries, China, India, Brazil,
They seem like they're moving back to a real currency, something that's actually substantial, that's not a fiat currency. So, you know, that could make a big change where all of a sudden gold today goes from 1380 all the way to 7,000. And that's what a lot of these guys who are and silver is going to go from $23 all the way up to $250. They're talking about this is going to be the decade of silver. So I don't know if things move back to a real substantial money-based economy. Some people are going to make it really good, and a lot of people are going to be sick anyway because you're getting Fukushima. I don't know.
What's going to happen is the people that hold the gold are going to make out. The rest are going to get austerity. You know, that we're going, the rest, you know, and not just if you hold a little bit of gold, you know, the rest are going to get fucked. That's the plan. They've been going back and forth off the gold standard through history for a long time. If you watch the Money Masters, you know, Secret of Oz.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
what they do. They pump and dump, you know, they play both sides of it. And then, you know, they demonize it and then they push it. The main thing is, you know, you really can't get caught up on anything being, you know, because as long as these same people are in control, you know, as long as they are, it doesn't matter what, you know, what they say or what they do. And until we actually have, you know, currency that's not lent out with interest. You know what I mean? That's the main thing here. You know, when you have a central bank lending it to a government at interest, then, you know, a compound.
Good luck getting rid of that.
Well, right, but that's the real culprit. You know what I'm saying? That's numero uno.
I was not trying to disagree with you. My only point was that if it's all going in cycles and we move back to that cycle, then that's what the cycle is going to be for another 100 years, and maybe they'll go back to a fiat currency, and maybe they'll go back to silver and gold, something like that. That's all I was trying to state.
No, I hear what you're saying. No, I think they are going to. I think they are going to go to silver and gold. Actually, Robert Zoellick, who is the head of the World Bank, announced a couple years back. Alan Greenspan announced that they wanted to go to a gold standard. I think that they're going to make a one world currency off it. To be honest, you know, of course, regional currencies first. you know, once they get close to collapsing the euro and close to collapsing the dollar, you know, and then they're going to go towards that. You know, I know, I totally understand what you're saying. I'm just saying that there's been a lot of obfuscation by, you know, a lot of these John Birch Society types that have, you know, Edward Griffin and whatnot, that have pushed that going back to the gold standard will make us all right, you know, when in essence it's, you know, just as bad as the fiat that they so despise.
Well, I mean, we can't, I understand what you're saying, and I'm not trying to argue, but I mean, the point still has to be raised that, hey, we had no debt back when we did have money backing, we had something backing the Federal Reserve note or the dollar, whatever you want to call it. And then now here we are with $200 trillion, what are those things called?
Deficit.
Derivatives. Derivative market. And then, well, you know what I'm saying? We got 17 to 28 trillion on a regular.
That's what it comes down to. You can't back a whole economy this big on gold anyway. You can't. It's not possible. You know, they may put up the illusion that they are, but it's all strokes on a computer, and that's all it'll ever be. You know, and as far as the stores of gold, they're not going to move from Switzerland or wherever they are. You know, I don't know. You know, I don't have a problem with someone who wants to invest in gold or silver as a hedge. I just, you know, the people that think that they're going to,
take over.
Right. Exactly. You know, yeah, if you want to hedge Bitcoin, maybe hope to retire. Yeah, Bitcoin, you know, it's interesting. You know, the thing about Bitcoin too is,
what's that?
It's actually a currency that's put out like over the computer. You need a special machine to bank it, to get the Bitcoin units. It's mining Bitcoins. It's similar to a hard currency like mining gold or silver, except you sit at your computer, and you have a machine that does it, and you know, you end up with Bitcoins, and you can use it's another form of currency. And you know, I don't know where they're heading with it, you know, but I know there's glitches in that too, you know, there's only so many Bitcoins to go around. So if you're late to the party, you're not gonna, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Wow.
There were $5 and now they're $300. Yeah. Who knows if they're gonna happen next? You know.
Right. Right, you know, but yeah, there's a lot of Frycoin as well, which allows Demirage, and you know, there's a few different examples of things like that. Trying to think, you know, but
you're right. It doesn't have to be a Bitcoin. It's a computer currency. They can have other ones, absolutely.
Oh no! I was just saying there. You know, there is another one. There's Frycoin or Frycoin or whatever. You know, you know. There's. I'm all for any competing currency. I'm all for it. I just wonder about the centralization process of it. You know, they claim it's not centralized, and you know that if you look at, I'll actually flip an article for you, where the NSA actually talked about doing this a long time before Bitcoin came in, which is pretty weird. So, I mean, you know, like anything else, it may be a set, you know, I tend to look at, I think we all do, like, everything's a setup, right?
Yeah. I don't know what to make of it yet either. Yeah, it's all up in the air. We never know. I don't think we're going to win in the end, but.
No, that's pretty much the point is that we're fucked either way, you know, whatever way they go, they're not worried about you and I and, you know, the rest of us on this call, you know.
Well, those Georgia guys don't say they're getting rid of, what, 90% of us, so, hey.
Well, hey, you know, I don't want to sound, you know, sensational or anything, but what do you got, you know, I know a lot of old people around here, you know, and my grandmother's one of them. That my grandmother's really sick right now, and she just had a flu shot. And I know a few other people that have died recently. I don't really want to put too much out saying on this, but you know, they actually put out a shot this year. I was researching it. That is a super shot, which has four times the amount of antigens in it or whatever. And it's just weird because I've been noticing, you know, a lot of people on my friends list have been saying, hey, my grandfather died. My grandfather, you know, So, I mean, that may be it. You know, I don't know if it's going to be a guidestone type number, but hey, you know, good way to knock off a good amount of the population. Obviously, they put a lot of propaganda towards it.
Yeah, they are a bad thing.
Oh, it definitely.
It makes you think, though. I mean, like, I don't think that our generation, particularly the people that are like in their teens and 20s now, they're not going to live too long.
Well, unless they, you know, unless they don't take these things, and unless they start, you know, eating real food, and, you know, and worrying about things other than, you know, than what type of aluminum, you know, deodorant they're wearing, you know, whatever, you know, or whatever.
Well,
whatever.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
If they never get the vaccinations from the beginning, I think that makes a big difference too, though. Do you?
Oh, totally, totally. You know, I mean, the whole thing is, you know, vaccines, they destroy the gut. They destroy, you know, all your immune system. That's what they're designed to do. They, you know, there is green vaccines, which we'll never see too. There's vaccines that are probably effective, which I'll bet the powers that be get, you know, that are actually decent, but we'll never see those. That's not for us, you know. So every vaccine I treat is poison. You know,
I'm sure a lot of the vaccines that we get, like, maybe do what they say, but it's not so much that part of it. It's what else is in them that could be bad, you know, down the track. Or, like, I'm sure some of the vaccines might work.
I don't think God made the body that way. I don't think God made the body that way. I don't think that you can take a little poison and something's going to change inside your body to magically, initially go ahead and be able to fight off some disease that you catch again. I don't think we work that way. I think the best way is to eat the right stuff, to exercise, and to stay away from the shit 100%. I think that's what it's all about.
Well, you know, here's an easier way to look at it. You know, I was reading an article about a month ago. It was talking about how farm kids live a lot long, you know, or are a lot healthier than other kids. And there's a simple reason why. They're out there playing in dirt, mud, shit, everything else, you know, just like we all did as kids, I'm sure. And think about it. You know, you don't get sick when you're getting exposed to these germs, and you're naturally building your immune system. You know what I'm saying? So that's the way, you know, to do it. All these people that are out there, these hand sanitizer Nazis and everything else, you know, these are the people that get sick. You know, those are the people that get sick.
Hand sanitizer is useless.
Oh, it is. It's out. And, you know, here's the thing. It takes the good germs off your hand as well. You know, here's the thing, man. I'm out of shape. You know, I'm trying to eat better and everything, but, you know, just from, you know, refraining from, you know, most of the bullshit, the aspartame and the fluoride, you know, as much as possible. I don't get sick very often. You know, I got sick once. James, you said something a couple months ago or whatever. You said, and I wasn't sick very long either. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I mean,
a couple of years you hadn't been, but the thing is too about it, like, you know, it's almost like to the point where, I mean, obviously, you know, things like obesity aren't natural, but I bet you there's lots of really big people that are probably a lot healthier than a lot of, you know, really skinny people. You know, it got to the point where you can't always tell just by looking at someone whether they're healthy or not.
Totally. Totally. No, there's people that are, you know, 120 pounds and, you know, and have heart attacks. You know what I mean? And don't get me wrong. No, I'm out of shape. I'm not where, you know, I'm supposed to be. But if I, you know, was to lose 40, 50 pounds, I would be, you know, I'd be perfectly fine. And, you know, people would still look at me and probably say, hey, that guy's got a gut or whatever. But, you know, as far as it goes, you know, some of these people out there that are, you know, pumping all these, you know, roids and whatever else and look great, you know, and not for nothing, most of them aren't even tough guys, you know, but regardless, you know, they're getting sick and everything else. So, I mean, you know, it's, you know, no, you can't judge a book by its cover. You're right, James. In that sense.
And it's just on that topic too. It's an amazing point. You know, we always hear from the feminists about women's body image issues. You know, you think guys don't have body image issues when they're dropping dead in their 20s and 30s from taking steroids, just guys that aren't even competitive bodybuilders or anything.
Right. But they're not even football players or anything. Yeah, they're just doing it.
You never hear about that, but you always hear about women and how they have to look a certain way from the magazines or whatever. But, you know, guys have it just as bad, and they don't get any attention for that at all.
Well, it's like everything else, man. Here's the deal. Feminism, like every other thing, is a, you know, it's an unequal thing. You know, them saying they want, you know, they're actually want to take other people's rights to give them more rights, you know? So it's just like, you know, any of these movements were, you know, in the past, yes, you know, when people were oppressed, okay, fine. But right now, don't tell me that someone that was oppressed 200 years ago needs to, you know, needs to get paid more than person that does the same job. You know what I mean? You know, I don't know if it's making sense, but you know, they're not fighting for equality. They want more than equality, and that's the sad fact of it is. I think that, you know, feminism is already.
Alicia?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Dustin, did you lose me?
Hello. I'm still
here. I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think we lost Justin.
let me see if I can find him. Hold on.
Can you hear me?
Says he's in the call.
Wow. His mic probably just cut out or something.
Anything else you guys want to talk about tonight, or you guys want to wrap it up soon? I'm getting pretty tired.
All right. Well, I'm pretty good. I had a lot of fun tonight with all you fellas. My name's Mike McNeil, and I'm on all the time.
That went right into the history books, Mike. I think that the Jim Fetzer thing. So thanks. Hats off to you. And I think it was a pretty good night. It's going to be talked about for quite some time on all these other websites. I've been getting all kinds of comments going on here, so it's been pretty good.
Well, I mean, we've had him on once. Brian's been on his show. It was pretty placid.
Yeah,
I mean, third time around, I think we needed some fireworks, you know.
Yeah, I suppose, eh? But it was good, nevertheless, you know. Like, hey,
Mike, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Hey, you guys are all awesome, and I'll be rapping with you online, and maybe I'll talk to you soon again. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, guys.
Cheers, Mike.
For everybody else
good night,
been
y'all.
Listening, you've been listening to Dose of Reality Radio with Brian Stavely, Justin Cook, and James Sloan. You can find us on some Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Time when we do air. And that's right here on therealnewsonline.com. That's therealnewsonline.com. From there, you can go to our radio page. You can go to our blogs. You can find our entire radio archive, special pages we've done on big events like 9/11, Sandy Hook, etc. And that's pretty much it. Everybody out there, have a good night, and we will talk to you guys hopefully next week. If not, maybe the week after. But we will talk to you guys soon. Have a good one. Creeping.